All right. Thank you, young ladies. That's the answer. I don't know about you, but from time to time, the devil will get on your shoulder and remind you of some failure somewhere. Isn't it wonderful to just thank God and put it under the blood? Amen. Appreciate that message and song. Well, we are going to introduce Brother Rusty Riggs as our first speaker this morning. Now, I don't know if he went home last night. If he did, he'll not have to go through the tribulation period because he's been through that to get from Orlando here this morning. That traffic is something else. I think Brother Cox, I believe your family didn't hardly get in until the service was over last night. I feel for anybody that has to, they ought to name that instead of naming it Interstate 4, name it the Tribulation Trail. Brother Rusty, come on. We're glad to have you. Pastor of Orlando Baptist Temple up there on Colonial Drive and been our friend a good long time. And we appreciate you. Come on and preach for us this morning.
Amen. It's good to see you. I asked Dr. Carter if his earring got infected last night. In hindsight, maybe. I shouldn't have asked him that. Should have just left that one alone. I don't know. He looked at me like, you're such an idiot. And from my college days, I was used to being looked at that way a lot, actually. Amen. I am so honored to be asked to speak this morning, and I'm just very excited. What a great night last night. Man, both messages were fantastic. And I am a Landmark Baptist College graduate, a graduated class of 95. Any other 95ers in here? Boy, that's the future of America right there. Future of America's churches, man. Some lucky church has got your name on it already. Woo! Hey, man, I see several of my buddies that were in college at the same time. Brother Mike, good to see you back there. Brother Mike Blair, glad to have you back in Florida. And good to see my brother-in-law over here. And you graduated a year after me, I believe, didn't you? What class were you, Brother Rex? 97, so 2 years after me. I'm living proof. If you go to college, if you just hang around long enough, they'll give you a diploma one day and say, get out. Just get out. It's kind of like going to a Chinese restaurant for lunch and staying all the way to dinner. At some point, they're going to come to you and say, you eat too much. Get out. Get out. So eventually, they gave me a diploma and said, just get out of here. Get on going. Hey, let's get right into this because I know there's other speakers after me. And Proverbs chapter 3. Dr. Carter, I'm so honored to preach this morning. And I am very glad to be a Landmark graduate, and I've tried to do all I can to help advance the college with what opportunities I've had. I've appreciated the tour groups coming, and many of your staff have preached at the Soldiers of the Cross camp, and I'm just appreciate chances to cross paths with other Landmark graduates. Proverbs chapter 3, I'm going to read something here to you, and I'm going to preach what I actually preached at my church Sunday, and it kind of goes along with the theme of you know, the holiday season right now, and obviously Halloween was Monday, so I was thinking about some things, and it kind of came along with this sermon at that time, and you'll see what I'm talking about here in a minute. Proverbs 3, though, look at verse number 32. I'm sorry, Proverbs 3, look at verse 32. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Dear Lord, I thank you for an opportunity to preach. Lord, there's so many great preachers here today, and what great sermons we heard last night and yesterday. Lord, I pray, though, that I can continue on and just add to what's already been done and what's going to be done and just let it be harmonious. Lord, I just want to be a blessing and an encouragement. There's a lot of young preachers here this morning, young men in college, men that are looking forward to what life's going to hold for them. They're planning, they're preparing, they're being trained. Right now, they go to bed at night and they dream of things that are yet to come. They're looking forward to a lot of life that if you delay your coming and if they live to be a ripe old age, they've got a lot of years ahead of them. So, Lord, I want to be a blessing to them today and maybe a help to some of those that are still looking greatly towards the future. And Lord, I pray that this little practical message can be a blessing. Lord, bless this ministry, bless Landmark Baptist College, bless Landmark Baptist Church and Dr. Mickey Carter and all the staff that work with him and around him. Bless these young pastors that are training for the ministry, and Lord, bless all the pastors that are in the room and their specific ministries. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Halloween was just here, and of course, during this time of the year, The TV shows are filled with these scary movies. Anybody in here a scary movie fan and will admit it? Oh, man, all the kids, scary movie fans. Well, man, the last month, the world was your oyster. Scary movies were on practically every channel, every night. And I remember a few weeks back, I was just at the house, and I'd had a long day, and I sat down, and I flipped the TV on for a minute, and a movie came on that I actually saw when I was about 12 years old. An old, old, scary movie. So I kind of got to thinking, hey, I remember seeing this, and I got to watching it. The premise of it was there was four kids, and they were out playing and playing a game, and they were doing some things. And in this game they were playing, an accident happened, and one of their friends got killed. Well, of course, they got together, and they concocted a story. They concealed it. They didn't want anybody to know what happened, and so they concealed all of it, and they made a little story up together, and they confederated to lie about what really happened. And then in the movie, about 10 or 12 years later, and they're all like seniors in high school now, and on the anniversary of the friend dying, they started dying off. These friends started having accidents and dying, and they started hearing that, you know, one of them had died, then another died, and then they started believing it was the spirit of this person that they had accidentally killed, you know, 10 or 12 years earlier. I don't know. Has anybody ever seen a movie like that? That's pretty much the premise of about every scary movie that's out there. In any case, they believe the spirit of this person had come back to haunt them. So here they are, they're scared to death. Ended up being somebody else that was doing it under the guise of being the spirit. But it was a, you know, neat little scary movie, and I enjoyed watching it. But it got me thinking about how in life we can be haunted by certain things. Things of our youth that can come back later on and haunt us. It got me thinking around that theme, and I came up with four ghosts that often haunt people later in their life. And the first one, I want to give it to you, is the ghost of retribution. The ghost of retribution. Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8 are a very popular verse. I want you to turn there really quickly. A lot of preaching comes from that. The ghost of retribution haunts many, many people. The Bible gives us a principle here that is inescapable. It's a law of the Bible. Galatians 6. Look at verse number 7 there. It says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." We understand this. Every one of you have preached messages on this. You know that if you plant beans, you get beans. You plant corn, you get corn. You don't plant corn and hope to get beans. Whatever you put in the ground, that's what comes back. We also understand the second principle in that. You always get back a lot more than you put in. You don't put in a couple of grains of corn and get back a couple of grains of corn. You plant a couple of grains of corn and you get back ears of corn. So we understand that the sowing and reaping principle is you always reap more than you actually sow. Now that works for you when you do good. That works against you when you do bad. If you're going around doing good things, listen, I'm a big believer that good always comes back. And it comes back in great ways. We have all been blessed as men of God because we've spent our life doing good things. And I'm going to tell you something. When you do good, you get good. I believe that. Say that with me. When you do good, you get good. By the same token, when you do bad, you get bad. It just comes back. Other religions call that karma, but in the Bible, we know it to be the principle of sowing and reaping. And I believe that many people are haunted by this. I want you to join with me back in the book of Genesis 42. Let me show you a biblical example of people that are being visited by the ghost of retribution. Genesis chapter 42. Brother Tony Elmore, that's in the Old Testament. Just want to help you out there, buddy. I haven't picked on you in a long time, Brother Tony. We've been friends for what, 20? I met you at the Camp Glory, remember that? We've been friends for a long time. We've done a lot of great things together. Eaten a lot of good meals together too, haven't we? A lot of hot dogs and sloppy joes at rallies and stuff like that. What a good guy. Genesis 42. Look at verse number 21. It's a very familiar story. This is going to take place in the backdrop of the story of Joseph. Now, you guys know how Joseph was the favored son and how his brothers began to greatly resent him. His father had given him a beautiful coat of many colors. And his brothers began to resent his glory and his favorism. So one day they beat him up and threw him down a well. I'd say those would be nominated as worst brothers of the year. Amen. That'd be a pretty bad brother. I got two brothers. I hope that I've never done anything like that to them. I thought about it a few times, but never did actually do it. They beat him up, threw him down a well. And then, if that wasn't bad enough, some people came by on the way to Egypt, and they sold their brother into slavery. I mean, my goodness, talk about having a traumatized childhood. Well, they took that jacket, they slit it all up, killed the lamb, poured a bunch of blood on it. They went back and told their dad, something horrible's happened. A wild animal, it's killed Joseph. He's gone. He's dead. This is all we can find. Years passed. And by the way, they got away with it. Dad believed it. Bible says that he grieved and he could not be comforted. Years passed. And then, of course, you know how the famine hit. They ended up having to go to Egypt for help. Then we see that Joseph, in meanwhile, made something of his life. By the way, you know, in life, sometimes you got to choose to be a victor and not a victim. Sometimes you got to choose to just say, this is my situation, and I'm just going to make the best of it. And that's what Joseph did. And he worked his way up, made something of himself, beat the odds. Well, then they come, and Joseph sees them. He sets them up. He hides a valuable object in their things, and they get caught and arrested. Now, here's the private conversation that they're having, private thoughts. We're going to get to hear this. Look at verse 21. These are the brothers talking. And they said one to another, we are very guilty concerning our brother, and that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore, is this distress come upon us? Well, I wonder how many times in their life, when bad things happened, the first thought in their mind went to, this is happening to us because of what we did to our brother years ago. Every time they got a pain, this is God finally getting me. Every time something went bad, this is God's judgment coming down on me. And you know, I have counseled people that did things in their teenage years, did things when they were young, like the students in this room, and now that they're adults, and it happened so long ago, man, so many ticks on the clock have passed since this happened, but every time something bad happens to them, this is because of what I got away with when I was in 10th grade. I knew it was going to come back to haunt me. Yeah. And they're visited often by the ghost of retribution. King Herod in Mark chapter 6 was visited by the ghost of retribution. Jesus is doing these wonderful things, and word is spreading. And Herod heard about it, and he thought, oh no, oh no. This is the ghost of John the Baptist whom I killed. Instead of rejoicing or even going to Christ, he was afraid of him, scared that this was a ghost from his past of a sin that he had committed. A lot of people are visited by the ghost of retribution. Things that we did, and we know that there's going to be a bill, a payday coming for it one day. Many are haunted by the sins of their past. Maybe they were a bully in school. Now they have to watch their children being bullied. And now they realize, I did this to other people's children when I was young. And now I watch my child, who maybe is a little different, or maybe a little small, or maybe a little weak. Now I'm watching my child be treated the way I treated other people's children. And in the Old Testament, we see Adonai Bezek, who took all those kings, and he slayed them and destroyed their nations, and he cut their thumbs and their big toes off, and he chained them below his table, and he fed them scraps from his table. Then when he was defeated, because he had done this to so many other kings, they felt that it was a fitting punishment to do the same unto him. They chopped his thumbs off so he could never ever hold a sword again. They chopped his big toes off, rendering him hobbled, and they chained him below their table, and his thoughts were, I deserve this. I've done this to so many other people, and this is retribution. This is the retribution that I've earned with my life. Retribution, bullies, crimes, lies that you've told. Lies tend to grow, and the problem with people that lie a lot, they forget the lies they tell. And then they got to walk around scared that those lies are going to be exposed. Yeah. Exaggerators, listen, people fact check, man. Yes. Amen. You know, it's much better, I believe Curtis Hudson said this, much better for people to be surprised than disappointed. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You agree with that? Sometimes preachers, we're guilty of over-exaggerating everything to the point. Now, you better be careful, because that buddy that you're at the conference with telling him how big your ministry is, he may come to Florida on vacation and show up in your church on a Sunday morning. And you'd rather him come in and say, wow, this is, you've really got something going here, than to come in and say, wow, this is not at all the way you described it. Them lies that we tell, buddy, they start to build, and there's people that live in fear of people because they know that there's a retribution with all those lies and hidden sins. And I'll tell you, one of the worst things that can happen is to do something in your youth and get away with it. I don't know why, but whenever you do something and you get punished, you kind of feel like, you know, I paid my debt. I paid my debt. And I got a spanking. I got grounded. I got in trouble at school. Or maybe you even served some time. Maybe you went to jail. But sometimes that can bring a closure to it that you feel, okay, there was a bill, but I paid the bill. But I'm going to tell you one of the worst things, and the ghost of retribution comes to all those who are sneaky and crafty and really good at just getting away with stuff. And everybody knows that kid that just seems to get away with everything. That kid in Bible college, when everybody else is getting to marriage, they're doing all kinds of horrible things, and nobody ever catches them. Yeah. Slick. I was never that guy. I could walk in the house, and my mother would look at me and go, what have you been doing? I'd say, nothing. Sit down. Next thing I know, I'm singing like a canary. I'm telling her everything I've done for the last month. My mom and dad always said we never had to worry about Russ because he was just always too much of a talker. He was too honest. You know, I'd come in and tell him. I'd come in, sit down, and say, what did you do? I'd tell him what I did, and then be like, you did what? But I knew people that were just slick. And sometimes you think they get away with it, and others standing by think, but I've learned something. At 46 years of age, I've lived long enough to see some things. They don't get away with it. That womanizer in Bible college gets away with it, and everybody knows he's a shyster, but the staff don't really see it. Yeah, one day his deacons will find out. One day his wife will find out. And when they fall, great will be the fall. There is a retribution, and the ghost of retribution often comes. You know, sometimes even worrying about the retribution in itself is a great punishment. My dad had an assistant pastor named Lance Laird. Lance worked for my dad for about 11 years. He was a youth director. He traveled with my dad often. And Lance was a practical joker. He loved just pulling jokes. It was me. Can you believe it? It's Glendy Hamilton, of all people. Should I answer it and let's have a talk with him? Let me turn this off. Well, I would yell at my church members for that. See, now there's an example of retribution. See, it's come back on. It's come back on. Lance was a practical joker, and they were on a trip. Dad was preaching a revival, and back in them days, a lot of times churches didn't have motels in them little small cities, and especially there in Arkansas. They were in northeast Arkansas, not a motel within 100 miles. So they had an old man in their church that had a little basement apartment, and it had two bedrooms, one in the very back, one in the front, two little beds in it. So they had put Dad and Brother Lance in that bottom basement apartment. Well, right off the bat, Lance Laird got in there, and he took a bucket of water, and he stuck it up over the bathroom door. Well, Dad got up in the middle of the night, first night, went in there to use the restroom up the door, and that bucket fell down and just drenched Dad. Well, Lance was giggling, laughing, and Dad looked at him. He's drenched. He just looked at him and said, all right, Laird, all right. He said, I'm going to remember this. He started laughing, and he said, it's okay, I'm going to get you back. I'm going to get you back for this week's over. Well, then Lance laughed. Well, the next day, Brother Lance is thinking, okay, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? And every day he's like, Brother Riggs, what are you going to do? You don't need to worry about it, but I'm going to get you. Well, Brother Riggs, what I did wasn't really that bad. I know it, but you know, I can't be even. We got to get ahead here. Well, all day long, Brother Lance was scared to death that Dad was going to do something to him. He got so paranoid, couldn't even sleep. And Dad would, every once in a while, kind of rattle his bed. And he noticed when he did, Lance would flip his light on. Look around. He'd rattle the springs on the bed because Lance would think in the middle of the night he's getting up to get him. Well, on the third night, Lance is thinking, I got to get some sleep, man. I can't stay up all night worried about Brother Riggs getting me tonight. So he took a desk that was in that room and he pushed it against the front of the door. Well, in the middle of the night, my dad had gotten a phone call, some kind of emergency back in Hot Springs where he pastored, and the assistant pastor was on the phone, and he said, I need to speak to Pastor Riggs. So it was about 1 in the morning. That old man who had memorized the room, he knew where all the furniture was, he knew where everything was, he didn't even flip on the light, he didn't want to disturb Lance, who was in the front room, he was going to slip to the back room, he just, in the darkness, started going through there, and he didn't know that desk was there. In the middle of the night, he trips over this desk, and when he does, he falls on the edge of Lance's bed. Well, Lance wakes up and thinks, oh no, he got loose! He's thinking Brother Riggs is in the room. And so he grabs his pillow and just starts wailing, just beating this thing. He just sees a shadow there on the edge of the bed. He just sees a form. He just wails it, and he beats him and beats. He beats him all the way to the floor. Then he flips on the light. He's standing over him. And the man looks at him and goes, did I wake you up? Dad's thinking, what in the world? Truth of it is, a lot of us worry all the time about retribution. You know, sometimes it's, if you're in that situation, it might be a good idea to go back to people you've hurt. Instead of worrying about when the payday is going to come, just go get it settled. Just get it settled. Maybe you need to go back to people that you cheated and just get it right. By the way, I find it in the Bible to be impossible to be right with God and be wrong with other people. Zacchaeus got right with God, and the first thing he did was he settled up the retribution. He paid everybody he had cheated back, and he paid them more than what he had taken from them. We see this principle over and over in the Bible. We see Jacob when he got right with God, after he spent a night wrestling with God. God broke him down, changed his name from being the cheater to being the prince. And you notice the first thing he did was he went and got right with his father-in-law, and he went and got right with his brother. And he, by doing that, destroyed that ghost of retribution that he knew would be hanging there waiting for him. Listen, are you dealing with the ghost of retribution? It's there. Let me give you a second one quickly, and I'll move quickly here from here on. Is the ghost of recrimination. Recrimination. Now, that's a big old 50-cent word. I'll be honest with you. My secretary found that for me because I was looking for a word that started with a R, and I'm really just not that smart to come up with that word. But my secretary is. She helped me out. But what does the word mean? It means blame. It means blame. There's a ghost of blame that often haunts people. A great biblical example is found in Luke 16 in the story of the rich man. The rich man died without Jesus, died without the Lord. He died without faith. In hell, he lifted up his eyes begging for even a drop of water. But you notice that one of the main parts of the story is he's wanting Lazarus to go back and talk to his five brothers. And I'll tell you the reason. He doesn't want his brothers to follow him to this horrible, horrible place. He doesn't want to hear the words, "You led me here," from their lips. You know, there's a lot of people that followed our actions, our examples, and sometimes the ghost of blame is going to come back to haunt us one day. Older brothers that led their little brothers into sin. Older friends that taught your younger friend how to smoke and drink and pressured them to do it so they could be cool. Young men that pressure young girls to do things that are not proper. I'm going to tell you something. One day there can be a ghost of recrimination coming after you. Chick Track put out a track years ago, and it dealt with a lady who had a nightmare. In this nightmare, she dreamed that her best friend entered her room in the middle of the night, that she woke up and that her friend was standing at the base of the bed. And in this dream, she looked at her friend, and she could smell smoke and sulfur in the air. And in this dream, this friend tells her that she had died and asks her why she never, ever told her about the Lord and why she never asked her to go to church with her. All these years we were friends. You never once shared the gospel with me. The lady woke up in the story, and she was relieved that it was just a dream, even though it was a dreadful dream. But then a phone rang, and she was informed that her friend had died in the night. And then that nightmare became a reality because indeed she had never brought up Jesus to this friend. She'd never invited her to church. They'd had lunch together, but never once did she tackle the issue of this lady's eternity. And now she grapples with the ghost of recrimination, the ghost of blame. There's a lot of people that are going to be visited by ghosts of blame if they're not careful. We better be careful how we lead other people. We better be careful. The young people, you better be careful how you advise your friends and how you lead your friends. It may be fun, but one day you may look back and realize that you led somebody to ruin their life. You may talk that little buddy of yours into trying beer because you all think it's cool at this age. But one day when you realize that he's an alcoholic, you know, most people, when they taste beer, they don't like the taste of it. Usually it's pretty repulsive. They have to train themselves to actually acquire a taste for it. And most people, when they're being honest, will tell you they got into alcohol or cigarettes or drugs to impress somebody else. Now, here's the reality. If you're the one that's trying to get somebody to impress you by doing wrong, one day you may have to go visit them in a hospital room dying of lung cancer and realize you were the first one to get them to smoke a cigarette. You may be the one that gets a phone call realizing that they're on the side of the road now dead because they were killed in a drunk driving accident, and you were the first one to get them to try beer. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something. It may not seem like a big deal, but that's a very haunting ghost. Yeah. And there's a lot of people that go see counselors and spend a lot of money and are miserable because the ghost of blame constantly haunts them. Yeah. You better be careful how you live your life. Many are visited through their bad decisions. I was watching ESPN not long ago, and it did the story entitled The Punch. Who's ever heard of the NBA story called The Punch? It's the story of Kermit Washington. Back in 1977, in a basketball game against the Houston Rockets, Rudy Tomjanovich, who was leading the NBA in scoring that year, a fight broke out, and he said, "I just literally punched the very first man I saw." A fight broke out, and I turned around and punched the very first man I saw. It happened to be Rudy T. Rudy T was running down the court, full blast. He said, "I turned, and with all my force going forward, all of his force coming into it," he said, "I punched him right in the nose." It laid him out. Now, some of you that are familiar with the story know that Rudy T, it literally almost killed him. It crushed his nasal passages, his sinuses. He lay there unconscious completely, had to be carried off the floor in a stretcher. He fought for his life. He was leading the NBA in scoring. He came back to play after that, but he was never the same. His career in playing ended not long after that. He just couldn't keep up with it. His breathing was never right again. And you know, Kermit Washington said that the rest of his life, no matter what he had done, all the good things that he had done, but he did a lot of good things. He wasn't somebody that did this every day. This was a split second in his life, a moment, a lapse of judgment where he let emotion take over for him. But he said, "All I'm remembered for, and all I will ever be remembered for, is that 1 second, the punch that ended the career of one of NBA's best ball players." He said, "I've thought to myself, I'd give anything to go back and relive that moment. If I could talk to my younger self, I would say, don't do this. Stay under control. It's not worth it." But he's haunted often, he said, by regret. Listen, there's a third ghost, if you're not careful, will haunt you. And I'll wrap this up quickly. And it is the ghost of regret. The best example I can give you from the Bible is of Judas. Judas, after he betrayed Christ, the Bible says that Satan departed from him, and regret soon came. Now, Judas ran to the church, and he offered the money back, and he begged for forgiveness. Now, some people wonder, did Judas possibly get saved there? I personally don't believe he did. And I'll tell you why I don't believe that Judas got saved. Because Judas went to the church, not the Christ. What he should have done was went to the foot of the cross and bathed himself in the blood of Jesus while begging to be forgiven. But he didn't. He went to the church. A lot of people are trying to go through the church, thinking that a priest can absolve their sins. Those priests in that temple could not help him. But we do know this, that he was grieved by his actions. He knew that he had shed innocent blood, and he was filled with the regret in his heart. The Bible says that it was so much regret, so much grief, that he literally went out and he hung himself. There's a lot of people that are visited by the ghost of regret. You know what regret is? Very simply, it's the truth seen after it's too late. It's the truth seen after it's too late. A lot of people look back and regret that they dropped out of college. Sometimes they regret it. They see it. This was a mistake. Sometimes after it's too late to fix it. You regret leaving your wife for that little bimbo at work who made you feel like you were 18 again. And you regret it. Now you see your kids every other week. You're paying alimony, 60% of your check, garnished, right? You're a lot of regret there. Where was this thinking when you were in the planning process? You might have should have thought from A to Z, not A to P here. You know what I'm trying to say? Hey, listen. There's a lot of people filled with regret. And at 50, 60, 70 years old, they lay awake at night, visited by the ghost in their thoughts. of all these decisions they made when they were y'all's age, in y'all's age. Most people live miserable older lives because of a wasted younger life. A lot of regret. Now, lastly, if you're not careful, you can be visited by the ghost of reputation. I could say the name Benedict Arnold. Benedict Arnold, by the way, was one of the most decorated soldiers in the Revolutionary War. But when I say the name, what's the first thought? Students over here, y'all know who Benedict Arnold is? Who's the history major over here? What did Benedict Arnold do in American history? You've heard his name? Jesse Maxwell. Benedict Arnold, first word comes to your mind. Go. Traitor. Traitor. One of the most decorated men in American military history, first word comes to our mind is traitor. That stuck to him. Now listen to me. We need to be careful what we do because it can stick to us like glue. Kids, can you say that with me? Be careful what you do. Because it will stick to you like glue. Say with me, be careful what you do, because it will stick to you like glue. You may come back to your high school graduation ceremony, your reunion 30 years from now. People may look over after 30 years, and you've grown up, married, got kids. They look over there and they'll say, hey, there's Sam, the liar. He lied all the time. And there's Mary. Mary dated every boy in the school. She dated every boy in five counties. Oh, and there's Jacob. Jacob cheated on every test he ever took. He's a cheater. Now, here it is. You're a grown man trying to live a life, and you're trying to, but yet this reputation is.